John Hinckley. Was it John Hinckley? Who's no? That's the guy that shot Reagan.
Great comparison.
Who's the guy? Hey, Anthony, where'd you get this podcasting stuff from?
It fell off the back of a truck.
Put a pin in that. We're back, Breaking Bread. I'm here with my co-host, Sal the Voice.
How you doing?
And Greg, our very own Greg, G Money Hines, is here today.
Why yo?
Just to give a little background, Sal. When I called Sal and I was like, Greg's got to be on the podcast, he goes, okay. And like, it was like with happiness and confusion at the same time.
Sure.
So the last time, be like four, you were the co-host, I posted a picture of like him announcing he was going to be on. And the episode never came.
That was two fucking years ago.
And it never aired.
So everyone watching at home, your letters worked. And... Greg is
riding to Santa Claus. We want to see Greg.
Greg's mom, man. If you're watching this, this is
don't watch it. Turn it off.
Mom, I don't even know.
His mom is totally going to watch this.
She's going to watch it.
Yeah. Oh my God, I saw the video. Why
she's
going
to watch
that?
It. She's going to figure out how to cast it to the TV so she can show everyone when they come over.
100%.
I'm going to get text from my aunts and uncles. You're like, oh my God, we saw you. And I'm like, why are you watching?
Greg, do you have siblings?
I do.
Someone should tell your mother.
Is the middle child syndrome that bad?
You're the middle child?
You couldn't tell?
No, I always thought you were the baby.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yes.
I knew you were going to say that.
Fuck you.
What do you mean?
I know.
You're very close to your mom, and normally that's like the baby thing.
Listen, I love my mother, and I know my mother loves me. My mother throws compliments around like manhole covers to me. Your mother adores you.
That's
in a way like
she does,
that's
Greg.
My mama.
But that's always like the baby. You're the middle child.
My mom calls it like everyone's in her eyes her favorite. But we all know that like.
But now that I know the middle child, yeah. A lot more makes sense, Greg.
All right. Well, like we know that my younger sister is the favorite. Me, like I've always been a mush.
I don't think she's the favorite, Greg. I don't even know
you
she existed.
Ask my brother.
Greg,
ask anyone in my
watch
family.
This and be like,
my sister is the princess that can do no wrong, and I am the scapegoat. I am the scapegoat of the family.
This are you?
He's gonna
1,000%. This is a hill I'm dying on.
Wow, but
Greg's sister. I'm sorry.
I don't give a fuck.
But your mother adores you.
Oh no, me and my mom have a great relationship. I adore that woman to the end.
Greg has brought his mother to my shows.
I did.
And let me tell you something. Like, as happy as she was to see me, she was like, you know, like...
Look at Greg.
Right.
Well, she had a great time. She had a fantastic time.
I like did hear...
Because she was a night out with Greg. Her favorite child.
Well, because we got to spend it with G and with... Who was G's boss?
Alex Carter.
And we got to walk throughout the Paramount, which was mm-hmm. fantastic. The event itself was fantastic. We went into the speakeasy, which is really cool because you're supposed to be a member only, almost like a membership, mm-hmm. which is really cool. And then the whole concert itself not only was great, your performance, but I think it was just a cool like mom and son date. I took up my mom.
A date?
All right. I'm going to cry. Mama.
Sal, one thing I wanted to talk about so badly, and I knew it was going to be a huge point of this podcast, is like how we all like got to be friends. Like the trip to California, the hot dogs on shoes, like all the nitty gritty of everything.
Please do not bring up the hot dog.
People need to know this story.
So, right...
It's the beginning of time.
We had
right
a
after I hired...
Trip. That was my favorite California trip.
Right after I hired Anthony, I had some shows to do in California. And so, Anthony and Greg joined me in California. And I took them around L.A. Greg is such a special guy.
Why did you say it like that?
You are. You're a special
you're
guy.
A special boy.
The editor asked me. She was like, you guys really roast Greg. I felt bad.
I'm not right. I just said Greg is a special guy because Greg is arguably one of the most lovable,
true.
Huggable, just like he's just a sweetheart of a guy. But he's...
there was a big but. There was a big but.
But he moves like a bull in a china shop, this guy. He's not graceful.
It's like Forrest Gump, but like 260.
All the sweetness,
Mama.
None of the grace, right?
A little sprinkle of grace here and there.
Sprinkle.
He's like a gazelle.
No.
like a
he's like
buffalo.
A gazelle that leaves the same size footprint as an elephant. Yeah. I find it extremely interesting how difficult it is to find any offense with what you do, what you end up, you know, whatever situation you end up creating. Like, I had just bought a brand new pair of white Air Max, Nike Air Max sneakers, you know, because I was a large American, and that's what large Americans wear, is those Air Maxes, because they're nice, big, chunky shoes, and all white, because we were going to California. I'll tell you what, I'll own up to this, Greg. You got, is something going on, Greg? You need a minute?
Ooh.
I will own up to the mistake of having purchased Air Maxes that have the fabric on the top instead of the leather all around. That was my bad.
Tough to get the stains out.
Real tough to get the stains out. Especially when those stains are steeped in tomato and vinegar.
Pinks. Talk about a stain.
We went to a hot dog place called Pink's on La Brea. And it's a famous little hot dog stand. And Greg gets a hot dog with barbecue sauce and onion rings. Because that's what Greg would get. And this...
He didn't enjoy it.
It was the saddest looking thing. And I'll tell you why he didn't enjoy it. He took one bite. He pulled the whole thing. This, first of all, every hot dog at this place is a fucking mess of a thing. You would think like you'd pick it up in the paper, right? Greg pulls it right out, full confidence. Takes one bite of this hot dog, and the onion rings are just kind of like haphazardly placed. And for whatever reason, the hot dog slips out the back, bounces off the table, and lands on my sneaker. And all the onion rings stay in place on the bun.
It was almost like a cartoon where like there should have been like a sound effect where the hot dog fell out. And I'm just looking at it with disdain and disappointment.
That's what you're missing. You need someone to follow you around with sound effects. No. That's not what I'm talking about.
All I remember is him saying, oh, my God.
You're my hot dog.
I stained Sal the Voice's shoe.
Greg is like all three.
I didn't care about the hot dog.
Greg is like all three stooges in one guy. You know, like, eh. You know, whoop, 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 whoop. You know, like.
the trifecta of randomness.
Right. But. But when it comes to being passionate about things, Greg is like I've never seen a guy so intimate with so many subjects, you know, like things at such at random. Like Greg, albeit he's this, you know, social media influencer, you know, this budding rose, if you will, and yet you wouldn't think Greg was a classically trained chef.
Yeah, and he can give you random facts about the Eiffel Tower, like the most random thing in the world.
So my siblings hate it because apparently I know everything, which I'm just informational about a certain amount of things, and they call me Bill Nye because I know everything, or Snapple mm-hmm. Fact Greg, because
mm-hmm.
it's just random, what I call quips or random thoughts that no one really ever needs to know, but you're kind of just interested because it's cool.
Right.
But, before all the social media stuff, before editing, doing all these food videos, working with Anthony, meeting Sal, creating this conglomerate of Italians versus the Irishman. I went to culinary school. I grew up loving food, as you can tell. And growing up, it was the inspiration that I would always be. I was babysat by my great aunt and my grandmother because both my parents worked full time. And on Saturdays and Sundays, what's on at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning is food channels. So I'd be watching Martha Stewart, Rachel Ray, Emeril Lagasse, and I just sit on the floor watching these things while my aunts are crocheting or whatever they did, or just watching us. And then it just piqued my interest, and I talked to my parents about going into food. So in Lynbrook, it's called A La Carte. It was a food class store or business, and I would do that in elementary and then into middle school.
It was a store that had lessons?
It's a cooking lesson shop. It's like a cooking lesson business where they just do like...
Oh, that's all they do is cooking
lessons. Cooking lessons.
Wow. So you went as a kid?
Yeah, so I went as a kid. I was a section in... they had like big things in like December. For
how
like
old are you?
11?
Really?
10, 11. Probably earlier than that.
How long did you stick with this for?
So that was... it was a Christmas present that my parents got me. It was like a 7-day thing over Christmas break where every single day was something new, working with a bunch of kids who also wanted to cook. And then that went into me just like cooking into middle school, just cooking at home for family events, parties and stuff. And then in high school, I went to Bosie's in Westbury for the culinary arts program. And then I started working in a country club for my first job as a dishwasher and prep cook.
Wow.
And then went into culinary school my sophomore year of college because I went to Nassau for a year just to bring some grades up. I got accepted my junior year of high school to Johnson & Wales, which is where I went. And that kind of catapulted, I always liked cooking. It was always part of my passion, but I never really knew what I wanted to do, if I just wanted to stick working in restaurants or actually learn more. And it probably was one of the best decisions I made, was going to school for it.
Wow. Yeah. So why aren't you a chef? Why aren't we eating at Greg's restaurant right now?
So what a lot of people go through in the culinary industry, and this is what I've seen, I'm not everyone, because everyone has their own take on everything. A lot of people get burnt out. A lot of people get stuck in the
room. How old are you, Greg?
26.
He's young.
Yeah.
We're old.
I've burnt out.
I've been cooking and working in kitchens since I was about 15, 16. And that was just dishwashing.
Whoa. Wait. You were working in a kitchen at 15 years old?
Yeah. It was.
I was wrong. You are not the favorite.
Club of Lake Success. That was the country club. That was
working
in
a country club as a 15-year-old?
While you were in school?
Yeah.
Would you just go after school?
So that was towards the spring season of my sophomore year of high school. I was doing that. And in the summer, I was going to football camp because I was not a football star, but I also fell in love playing football. So I would go to football practice during the summer. And then after football practice, I would go to work.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And the whole thing with leaving the kitchen is I worked at a different country club.
And what does a prep cook do?
They basically just prep all the ingredients for the higher-up cooks, so the chef, sous chef, chef de partie, or the other, heads. I'm basically just chopping onions, peeling potatoes, slicing thousands of tomatoes, peeling 2 cases of eggplant, grunt work, the bullshit work of the kitchen. And then what most people do is usually start at the bottom, and then you work your way up, so... Mm-hmm. I was a prep cook for about 2 or 3 years and then went away to school. And then about 18, 19, I was working at Mutton Town. That was my first big job because I was just prep cooking and dishwashing at the other place. So it really wasn't chef work. And then freshman year of college, I was at Nassau and I was also working at the club at the same time, prep cook. And then when I went away to school, came back, and they asked me to work on the line. So I was doing breakfast, lunch. I was working the sauté station, grill station.
The sauté station?
So you were on the front lines.
They basically just threw me in.
And you're going to laugh at that. Is that a bad thing?
Let me take a sip of my drink.
Angry drink.
This isn't just coffee.
So then how do you, what happens? did they just, leave you off at, so it, like, because I feel like if you're at Sauté Station, That's you're like above a prep cook now. You're actually like you're in the
a lot of times
Vietnam. Like, I feel like
good morning Vietnam.
Good morning, Vietnam. Like you kind of. Like,
I feel like there should be music while Greg's telling this story. Like da da da. Da
hey, what if you saw Platoon? Like Greg was in the kitchen and it's like.
Shot. This is
bodies hit the floor.
This is why I wanted to talk to you about cooking, Greg, is because Greg has a very distinctive tattoo on his forearm. It's of the sections of a pig, and Greg is yet not a chef. So I'm wondering, like, there was a point of Greg's life where he was so passionate about cooking. Because he's a guy who's passionate about many things. And like you said, he knows a lot about a lot of different stuff. And a surprising amount for a guy who is as cumbersome as Greg. He is very, very bright. What I want to know is, like, there was a point of his life where he was so passionate about food and about cooking that you had a tattoo of the show, everyone, of the sections of a pig tattooed on your arm.
Yeah, one of the many.
I think I saw that at Mario's Meats and Deli.
Every butcher shop has the sections.
And yet this guy is not, like, this isn't his thing. I'm like, how come? So you're how old at this point? You graduated culinary school.
Yeah.
Right? You are, like, 21, 22?
2019, yeah, so I was 22
years old.
Graduated on my birthday.
You're doing stations. You're wondering, like, when they're going to bump you up.
So at that point, this was at Muttontown. So I was there at this point. So 22, I was there for 4 years. And this is right before COVID because I graduated 2019. This is the summer before COVID hit. And they kind of bumped me up to like just like a regular line cook doing fry station, grill station, doing like the parties, the cocktail hour parties, weddings, sweet 16s, doing all like that. Still kind of grunt work, but like a little higher up than someone who's just peeling three cases of potatoes.
It's like you're it's like factory work. Yeah. Like you're not making anything.
I'm not on the top tier, but I'm a little higher up.
You're not doing anything groundbreaking. You're doing like, you know.
Honestly, the stories Greg has told me, not like a necessarily bad stories, but like the stories you've told me about working in the kitchen, it kind of changed my dining experience. Like it really did.
I'm very informational, but I'll also tell you things that you don't want to know about the kitchen. And things that you need to know about the kitchen etiquette, going out to dinner, going out to restaurants, and how like certain things like are done, why they're done, and need to be done, and the way you should kind of act towards it. Because if you don't respect restaurant workers and you don't respect wait staff, bartenders, and you're rude in a restaurant, go fuck yourself, basically.
Reason number one to not be rude in a restaurant: people like Greg will spit in your food.
I've never spit in anyone's food. I've contemplated it. I contemplated it, but I do believe in karma, where if I did it, it could be possibly done to me. I'm always respectful in restaurants, always polite, tip well, always good conversations.
But what would turn me off to a restaurant?
What do you mean?
You said this stuff like, I know.
So
what's the
Greg, you can't just say, like, I know the launch codes and then not give us the launch codes.
Beep, boop, beep, beep. Give a little highlight reel of, like, what the most interesting stuff was.
You're like Vietnam flashbacks.
This is Greg.
We're in the trees.
The reason why I wanted to ask Greg about this is because I feel like cooking is his personal Vietnam. Like, something fucking happened when Greg was a chef.
We're in the trees.
That made him not want to do this. And I'm very, because he has a tattoo, because he's permanently stamped his body with something that is so specific to this industry. I want to know, There's got to be some, like, your own personal Vietnam.
My own vendetta.
Of why you're not, you know.
So
Greg's Vietnam.
I still love cooking. I still love doing my own thing.
What happened, Greg? Tell me about the day you quit.
I should bash on this fucking place because they made me fucking miserable.
No, you don't got to call the place out.
People who are...
We're not trying to get fucking sued, Greg.
People who worked with me.
Greg.
No.
Let's speak in very general terms,
all right,
Greg.
All right, okay. So what...
You worked at a bad place. What happened?
Working in the industry...
TGI Fridays is a bunch of TGI Fridays shit is slave drivers.
TGI Fridays is trash. But so a lot of people that work in the industry know that there are certain key factors of what will make you stay in the kitchen, what will make you leave the kitchen. And a lot of people will become jaded.
What fucked you up, Greg?
Getting there. Give me a moment. I'm building up to the
it's too much bullshit. No,
I can't take it anymore.
Spill the tea.
So what I dealt with, which a lot of people dealt with, is shitty management and toxic work environment. And
Greg, that is so general. Everything is toxic. Masculinity is toxic these days. I want to hear about what did they do to Greg. I want to know what they did to you so I can go back there.
I know
a place that will not be named.
So, I mean, I can go into specifics. A bunch of shit happened at the country club. As basic as an answer as I can give, because I want to go forward with the story, it was just very toxic management. And I was overworked, working 70, 80, 90 hour weeks, doing the jobs of three different people. Like at a certain point when I came back from college, they offered me the position of headline cook. And at a country club, you have members that can dine there. Most places, whether it's a country club or a yacht club, it's usually like a little, what we call a halfway house, where you have snacks, drinks, beers. Maybe you can get like an egg sandwich or a burger or a hot dog. This was a full-blown kitchen, big country club. And at the time, I was 22, 23, thrown into working the line. And I was the hot side. So there's hot side and cold side. Cold side is salads, wraps, everything that's cold. And then on my side, I was doing everything from omelets, burgers, steaks, everything on the fry station, everything. I basically was doing it all. And I was working 70, 80, 90 hour weeks, working 8 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night, which is usually when you work in a kitchen or a restaurant, that's usually normal time, or 10 o'clock to 11. And it was 7 days a week. I maybe had one day off every now and then, but it was 7 days a week. And weddings were always Saturdays. I was 8 a.m. to 2 a.m. And then I'd wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning the next day to go to the to go to my shift on Sunday. And a lot of the times with bad management, they overwork the stars. I'm not going to call myself a star, but when I work,
I mean, you just did.
You just did.
I'm a good worker. I'm content.
You're a star.
I'm content with the work that I produce.
He a motherfucking star.
I give him my all, and I will always try my best, because that's what my dad and my mom always told me. It's like, as long as you show up and try your best, that's all you can do. If you fuck up, if you don't fuck up, you learn from it. And certain instances, it was weddings, barbecues, parties, I was doing the job of three people, making sure that their stations were set up because they weren't doing their job. I will not let the sink ship. I will not let the ship sink, because I'd rather have something done right and then not have someone else get yelled at, because then they're going to look at me like, oh, Greg, why didn't you help them out? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? So at a certain point, I was doing the job of three people. And it just got tired. I just got tired of doing everything all the fucking time. And almost at a certain point, like I fell out of love with cooking because there was no creativity.
It's almost like they rode the championship horse too hard. They ran you in too many races.
Yeah.
This is a much needed therapy session.
A lot of cooks, a lot of people are like, oh, you're a pussy. Oh, like you burnt out. Oh, like you did this, you did that. You couldn't hack it. It's like, bro, like, a lot of chefs are mentally not there. Drug users, alcoholics, they fuck everyone. It's true. Like, if you work in the restaurant industry, everybody's fucking. Everybody's fucking.
It's chefs and
chefs gone wild.
Players.
Chefs gone wild.
They're using all the heroin.
And everyone
those
has
tattoo artists.
I mean, I feel like that's every workplace, though.
No, but everyone has their. No, but it's very prominent, and everyone has their vice. You look at any cook, there's something wrong with them. You have to be arrogant. You have to have some sort
of Gordon Ramsay.
You have to have something mentally not wrong with you to be able to withstand the work, to withstand the pressure, to withstand working what we call in the weeds, where you're just 18 tickets deep. You got 1,000 things going at wrong. The work, the fucking wait staff is fucking up.
And your
line cooks are fucking up.
You're too
level analogies.
Yeah, you're too level headed to be in that situation.
And like I did it for a while. Like,
you're not fucked up enough.
Well, because I knew what I was worth, and I don't know. They didn't pay me enough to abuse me that much. And that could just be me being me. A lot of people are like, oh, if you can't work in the kitchen, you did all this, you couldn't hack it. I'm worried about my mental state.
Because I don't
want to be 45 and want to fucking kill myself. And I'm like, oh, I'm working in this restaurant for 30 years and I've moved nowhere. Because a lot of people get a lot of line cooks who in the beginning have that passion for cooking. They burn out because
you
they're
saw
doing the same repetitive thing over and over, and they
you were able
passion.
To see your future,
yeah,
and you realize that it's not what you wanted for yourself. Yeah. Wow!
And so I was there.
Greg, that's bravery right there.
And I got abusing
balls.
COVID too.
Balls.
Valor.
It was COVID too. Like we technically weren't supposed to be open, and we were still serving food because it was outside.
Greg, tell them about that text.
We're not going into that.
Really?
Oh, come on.
No,
you were about to call people out before.
You could make a general.
They're gonna know.
Really?
They're not watching this.
I don't want to deal with that.
Huh.
Greg, if there was a text worth talking about, right, they're not watching your podcast.
I'm not gonna drop the name out of respect, but I got the text in the beginning of working with Anthony, and a lot of people still don't know what I do. Like my friends, are like, oh, Greg, I see you all the time. You're in these funny videos. Everyone thinks that. Our funny videos is what I do full time. No one knows what I do.
I wish
that I'm running 7 businesses accounts on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. That I'm doing all this work. They think that I'm just slumming it out to fucking Jersey, eating fucking chicken parm, and telling this kid he's an asshole. I mean, every now and then. But so in the beginning of it,
it's a clip right there, editor.
So I'm gonna get into. I'm gonna go into. So leaving the country club. I was working at a beach restaurant on the island, and that kind of was, it was a little bit better, still kind of toxic, but I didn't want to leave the restaurant industry just yet. Worked there for a summer, chaos, but it was fucking fun. It was great, but also like mentally fucked up.
Fun spot.
Leaving there, September, October area, still looking for work. Was on Indeed, was on everything, couldn't find anything. Like they were looking for headline cooks or head positions paying like $19 an hour. And I'm like, absolutely fucking not. I'm not working 80 hours a week getting $19 an hour. And I got a text at that point because I wanted to go into like the private cooking, had my business cards and everything. Was doing like small parties here and there every now and then, doing like small catered events or like selling. I was doing like meat and cheese boards, not professionally, but it was like these really cool things that I fell in love with because I just loved the way they looked. And so I got a text from Great Chef that I had the pleasure of working with, Victor, if he sees this, love you. My mom, as you know, is a hairstylist, and one of her customers had seen my card. Gave it to him. He's originally from East Rockaway, but he was living in the city at the time, and this guy worked everywhere from Vegas to in Europe. Like, he worked all over. Great Chef texted me when I was living in Babylon at the time, and he's like, hey, like, I'm looking for someone to be on my team. We're opening up a restaurant, but we're not open yet, doing training and everything, and that was 2021. That was in November, and I ended up going into this place that was in East Rockaway, which is right next to me, and we ended up creating menus, figuring out the layout of the kitchen, and basically this was my first time ever working in a place that wasn't even open yet. This was my first time starting at a new place that is prepping to be open fully. And it was probably what saved my understanding of why I got into cooking, and it made me fall in love again with cooking. Great chef, great work atmosphere. The bartenders, the bar staff, the bar manager, like everyone. These are all people from my area, from working in the same industry that understood what it was to treat their workers. And that's when I fell back in love with it. And like, I didn't mind working 40, 50, 60, 70 hour weeks. Like, this is what's at the point my second home. It was only 5 minutes away from my actual house, which was great. And at that point, I was living in Babylon with a couple of friends, and Anthony had ended up moving in. And
hi.
At that time, me and him like kind of like knew each other. We started hanging out. Then we ended up living together.
Can I say what you please said to me one of the first times that you like saw me? Please.
I don't even know where this is going, but sure.
All right. So during the height of COVID, my friend Jason had a barbecue.
Oh no!
Not a barbecue. Had like a fire pit, and me and Greg knew of each other.
I knew him as an author.
I didn't know who he was, but I knew of him. Like I saw him in all pictures. Every one of his pictures was like with girls. On his Instagram, it was like Greg and six girls, Greg and two girls like this. This was everyone. So I was like, damn, this guy, good for him, man.
Peacocking.
Yeah. So
my college days were just projecting just being a fucking.
So, and from what I heard about guy. You were like a legend. Like, yo, Greg's the guy that gets in the middle of the dance floor. He gets all the girls to him, talk to you. So I like walk into the backyard and Greg goes, he had a couple drinks. He goes, publish author, sign my tits. And that's my first interaction I ever had with Greg.
Oh, I was plastered. Absolutely fucking bonked out of my mind. And I'm like, it's like when you're like, she's like, oh my God, sign my kid, sign my chest, like a fangirl. And I'm like, oh my God, sign my chest. And he's like, hey, nice
to
meet you.
It just really threw me off, but it was cool.
I'm goofy. I'm goofy at the same time of just.
No. No, really.
All right, sorry, but I am cutting you off, but continue with the Babylon story.
Working at Haviland at that time. So this is probably, I want to say March, April of 2021. And Anthony, at a certain time, has left his previous job because almost at the same time where me and him kind of like we're working these jobs. We're like,
what'd you do before?
I worked in marketing, but on a smaller scale. So I was a communications associate. I don't know what that is. It's basically a job where you are under someone who probably doesn't know as much as you, and you know more than them. And then I just got the gist that I know more than these people. Like, why don't I just do my own thing?
Good for you.
Like, I know it sounds really cocky, but it's just like it's just the name of the workforce. Like, if you have the experience, you have the name. No one wants to give you a shot.
So you're branching out on your own,
and he's doing the same.
Yeah. So we both.
And Greg's working at a new restaurant that's about to open.
Yeah. So at that time, so like March, April, this restaurant's been open for 3-4 months. And we both almost at the same time like were like at like a standstill of like we wanted to move forward, but like something was holding us back. And I loved working there. Great restaurant. If me and him didn't live together and this didn't happen, I'd probably still be working there. But it was the opportunity of living with a friend at that point, or like a new friend that me and him clicked instantly. With certain things, whether it was growing up the same way, having our families that were very similar, having the same friend group, it almost like felt like I had a cousin that I never knew.
You're gonna make Gugin. Me cry,
Gugin.
I didn't know he felt this way about me.
Shut the fuck up.
So what's the text?
Not like I said, it just resonated with me because, and I'm sure Sal, we've talked about it at like length. That's what really made me like your story was an inspiration to me. You know, you're just a kid from Long Island. You, like, came on AGT. You know, you're saying how you're doing to Heidi Klum. And, like, you know, you sit, you get there and you sing your heart out. You talk about your family. And, like, you're, like, grandma. Inspiration to me. It's stuff like that that made me quit my job. And I saw the same thing with him. When he got that text, I literally want to punch a hole through the fucking wall.
What's the text?
Because it's just jerk-off people.
What
that don't believe
happened?
In, like...
Once we got to like that springtime area of like 2021, Anthony had
period
left, that period. Anthony had left.
Areas of place, periods of time.
Yes.
I just wanted to help you out.
So Anthony, at that time, me and him started doing these TikToks of him being the Italian. Kid from Queens, and I was the Irish guy that had no idea what the Italian culture was. Like, I knew how to cook Italian food. I interned at an Italian restaurant at school. Like, I understand Italian food, but I never understood the culture. And me and him were doing these videos of just, like, the Italian versus, like, the non-Italian stuff, and it blew up, and it was funny. And these people were like, oh, like, this is what we grew up with. This kid has no idea, like, what's going on. And at that time... he realized that, like, oh, if we can do this for fun, like, why can't I do this for a business? Whether it's making funny videos or showcasing their product or their company. Mm-hmm. And the first business, which was, shout out to Fortunato's, he grew up going there all the time. His Nono was part of that group going there for, what, 30, 40 years?
Yeah, since he came to, like, America, pretty much.
And
is it open?
I love telling the story because it was the one day I had off in a while. I think it was like a Saturday or like a Friday or Saturday. And Ant's like, yo, Greg, like, do you want to come with me to Williamsburg in Brooklyn to film at Fortunato's? And I had been there before once when he showed me. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm good. I slept a little bit. Like, I have time to kill. Let's go. And we filmed there, and I was just filming stuff just to film because I always love film cooking.
I can show you the world. Right?
And flew there on the magic carpet or his
this
Cadillac.
Is a Disney. This is Disney movie.
I'm for hire. So, like, his Aladdin moment of the magic carpet was his Cadillac. And we drove there, and I always filmed my food. I just never did anything with it. I always liked the aspect of, like, what I did.
He did always film his food.
And I was just filming. And when he did his first video, like, he took some of the footage that I did. He's like, yo, like, this is, like, kind of good. Like, do you want to come film with me every now and then? And I was like, okay. So at that time, I was working at the restaurant a couple of days, and then I would go film with Anthony one or two days out of the week.
All day long. I got to give him credit.
Yeah.
He'd be there, like, geez, God knows how many hours a week, and then he spent the whole two days with me straight, 2 hours home, like, back in traffic as we were out in Babylon.
Yeah, it was an hour and a half, 2 hours both ways. And it was getting to the point where the beach restaurant, it was coming to that summertime where the beach restaurant wanted me back, and they offered me the sous chef position. And what they were offering me is what I was making at Havilland. And I told him, like, well, this is how much I'm making now. And I was the grill guy, so I was doing steaks, burgers, all, like, the meat and everything. And I'm like, what you're offering me right now is what I'm making right now, and you want me to be the sous chef? And like, oh, well, it's all about experience, and we'll take you in. And these are the same people that were leading me on after I left the previous season, because as a beach restaurant, you have seasons. So these people were the same people that were leading me on. They're like, oh, we're trying to find you work, trying to find you work. Meanwhile, these people own a bunch of restaurants on the island. And there were a couple of them that were near me when I was in Babylon. And they're like, oh, like, we can definitely find something for you. This went on for, like, months. And I'm like, you're telling me, like, you can't find something for me? And there's literally, like, five or six places near me. And me and him start working more. Summertime or springtime comes, and I get a text. I'm like, the whole sous chef thing. And I'm like, I'm not working a bigger position with more work and more hours for the same amount of pay. And they were all basically like, oh, like, don't bitch out. Like, this is all about experience. We'll take care of you. And I'm like, you guys haven't been.
They said, don't bitch out.
Yeah. Don't call
out.
Don't
bitch out on the free labor.
Hey, do you want this job? No. Fuck you. What?
And I get a text after denying it.
Wow.
And I didn't even say the text.
What was the text?
So the text read, enjoy making your stupid TikToks, and I hope you enjoy not making money when you could be making $1,000 a week here. And I'm like, didn't even respond to it. Wasn't even worth the thumbs working for a response.
How does it feel now that people still call your TikTok stupid, just on a grander scale?
I mean, when it first came out, I'm like, how are these people making fucking money? And now that I'm running these pages and I'm working on my own time and I'm doing what I'm doing.
Right. So in other words, it's your TikToks aren't stupid because you're putting, I think what they didn't realize is that you were leaving to put TikToks together for people.
Yeah.
You and Anthony are in a business where people like myself pay you guys a decent amount of money every month. And basically what you return is kind of traffic to their social media.
Yeah.
So that's a real thing. I don't know why they would have told you to screw off. It's just very different from working in a kitchen, you know? It's a lot more laid back. I think that what they were saying is, we don't get it. this guy doesn't like pressure. And it's true. You don't like pressure. You're not a high risk situation type guy. Like, you want to kind of, you want something laid back on your own time. So in reality, you know,
I wanted something where I had my moment to shine, where instead of I felt like I was being held back.
Whoa.
Okay.
Mike.
That's different.
Dropped.
Well, because a lot of.
That's
lot
different of, from a, what a, I was a, about to say.
A lot of cooks and a lot of chefs burn out because they're doing the same repetitive things for years
and they don't get
years.
The credit?
Not even. Listen, if you're a line cook, you will never get the credit. Ever. It's the chef and the sous chef. They came up with the menu. They trained you. It's in their place.
What?
And all respect to it. Because they built up to that position because they were doing the same thing that their line cooks were doing. They built up to that position working 6, 7, 8 years doing all the grunt work to now shining in their own moment.
So
and
Greg
credit.
Wants to be a star.
Greg is a star.
Well, Greg is a star, as he said. you said it, Greg. You're a star.
I'll
You're
say
in high demand.
He's so happy. He's like a dog when you scratch his belly and he gets so happy.
You're in high demand.
Don't scratch my belly.
You're doing several people's jobs at once because you're so good at it.
You are.
You're a star. Like, that is how you know people love you, Greg, is when you reject them and then they get mad at you.
Yeah. Because they're like, oh, well, yeah. We told you you're worth this. And I say, I'm like, no, I'm not. And they get mad at it.
John Hinckley. Was it John Hinckley? No. That's the guy that shot Reagan.
Great comparison.
Richard, who's Nixon the guy? Smash. Who's the guy that shot John Lennon? Oh no! Wait, no. It was John Hinckley shot that guy, paralyzed that guy who was the Reagan. I don't know, Secret Service. I don't know the story too well. I don't want to mess it up. But John Hinckley did it for what's her name? Doesn't matter. You. Right? You want to be recognized for whatever. It's not necessarily you want to be recognized as a great chef or you want to be recognized as a great producer of content.
I don't want to be overlooked.
You want to be recognized as Greg Heinrich.
It was for a while. I was very jaded with where I was at. And I get it. I respect everyone that works.
What do you mean jaded?
Like, I was to the point where, like, I'm worth this. I shouldn't be doing that. I almost, like, not hated what I was doing, but, like, I felt like, I'm like, why am I doing
this? You thought you worked too hard and too long.
Yeah, and I'm like, why am I still here?
Right.
And I think working at the restaurant before working with him is kind of saved it.
You didn't want to like grind.
I don't mind working. I don't mind grinding, but grinding to the point of being overlooked. Where
you
like,
overlooked
where they just
the bottom.
They just expect me to do all this.
You didn't want to spend. You didn't want to spend a lot of time at the bottom. No. You felt like you were languishing at the bottom. So why didn't you like try out for one of those cooking reality shows? Like, that's what I would think. Like, all right, you can cook.
Next level chef.
No, seriously, you can cook.
So I don't ever in my life expect a golden buzzer. I don't expect anything to be given to me because nothing is given to anyone.
No, but I mean, like, you grew up watching celebrity chefs.
You want to be the fat Italian guy that's in the front of the restaurant. He does. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't think he wants that either. So here's something I notice about Greg.
Diners, drive-ins, and dives.
I mean, yeah.
If I had to compare
Greg,
you to one, I compare you to him.
Gary is fucking phenomenal.
When you compare him to
him for no reason.
100%, right?
Greg, like, Greg's kryptonite is when other people are getting laughs in a room. Because then Greg will try to go then and get the laugh. And he'll keep going back at it. Because he wants to be, you know, the headliner. I think Greg would love to be a celebrity chef. And once he realized that goal was too far off working in a place like a kitchen, I think that's kind of what made you want to leave. And I think that you started seeing yourself as the star of this content that you and Anthony were creating. And you're like, well, if this could make me a star, then fuck working my fingers to the bone in a kitchen and cutting myself and burning myself and getting yelled at all the time. And, you know, these people with all these, you know, with all these hangups and, you know, and all these cigarettes and, you know, all this.
Cigarettes.
Yeah. I mean,
a lot of cigarettes. The cigarettes.
You want to be like a personality. That's what you want to be, Rachel Ray.
it was more of the it was more of the recognition.
Yes,
like if I could put it into the word,
very good callback.
If I could put it into a word, it'd be recognition for all the things that I did because I over.
And that's what brings.
I overworked myself. I overworked myself.
Sal, you should have been a shrink.
I overworked myself, doing like I was putting myself out there, helping other people that. Didn't need the help because they have their own job, and I was doing it just to do it because I didn't want anything bad to happen. Where we're doing a certain party, we're doing a certain event, and something's not done, it's not my job to do it, but I also don't want anything to be fucked up. And it just got to the point, I'm like, why do I keep putting myself out there if I'm not getting the recognition?
Sal, what's your story with this?
What was the pinnacle of
of when you realized that I'm going to make this next step?
Music, specifically this type of music that I do, the standards big band, was always something that I loved. It's not always something I saw myself doing, but in a very similar vein as Greg, you know, I really appreciated the attention that performing it brought me. And I also loved performing it. I love now being able to make it and create it, the music. As far as burnout goes, if you love something truly, you don't get burnt out by it. It'll be the bane of your existence, and you'll still go back to it. A lot of things were out of my control growing up, you know, and that's kind of a world of my own. And, you know, I guess I kind of was always, probably trying to be the center of attention. Growing up, I was, you know, to my grandma, I was her baby's baby. You know, my dad is the youngest of three. I don't know, like, it's always happened that way. And this was like, you know, this whole AGT thing was kind of like icing on the cake. I mean, but you, Greg, you really... like want that spotlight. And I think that no matter what you do, you're gonna find it. Whether it's cooking or social media, but it leads us to the reason why we're sitting here today.
Yeah.
Greg's been behind the camera for the last, you know, bunch of episodes. And I think that Greg is like, well, I wanna get to the front of it. Greg is sort of stepping into the producer role of this podcast, and he's like, you know, I want it to be more of a conversation. I want it to be more three-sided. But I think that I proved to Greg today how important it is to put someone in the spotlight.
I needed a vent. I think that's what it was.
Greg, congratulations. You are the new producer.
Chindan.
Bread. How do you feel?
This isn't coffee.
Even after you stained Sal the Voice's
shoe. What I'm saying is I don't think that Greg wants to be the producer. Greg wants to be the star.
He does.
We should do a podcast where we just figure out Greg.
It's not breaking bread, it's breaking Greg.
I can guarantee that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to listen to this podcast just to see Greg.
Right.
No, I'm like completely convinced. podcast.
No, I know. I'm going to get, like, my boys are like, yo, like, you're on a podcast. I get random people I probably haven't talked to in, like, 5-6 years. Like, oh, you're on a podcast.
When, like, we had a
hit. My mom texted me, like, oh, my God, sweetie, you look great. You look so handsome.
Nobody realizes his reach. When we had, like, a viral video, it got 15 million views. He goes, yeah, like, I got a text from one of my friends in, like, Kansas, bro. And she was I was just like, who the fuck does he know in Kansas?
Well, like, Greg's a traveler.
The one question that I always wanted to know was, after AGT, what was the transition from that to where you are now? Like, what was like that? Like, how did you get to doing all the shows? I know the Paramount was one of your first things.
Honestly, I put up an email. I had a friend of mine answering the emails and setting everything up. Tommy Trance. And it's just people started calling. I got a call on an afternoon in October from a guy named Rob Mafia, who's my manager now. And he wanted to book a show at the Paramount in Long Island. And they gave me a chance. And from there on out, pretty constant up until the pandemic. And then the pandemic happened, and I kind of changed how I did things. I have a friend who produced my last record. His name is Dave Damiani, and he is like the master. He is so efficient as a band leader.
Grandmaster Dave.
And I kind of had to figure out how to be a band leader, how to be more contained, how to travel the country with just books and literally... That town car you see outside, right?
The boat.
During the pandemic, I was driving that all over the country with music, like kind of like the Green Book, except it was me and my father. And my father would set up a little merch table in the front, you know, and try to make a few dollars. And I would do a show. I would teach the band the music and do a show.
Your dad's a legend. He's a gem.
He's the best.
He's a gem.
Old school as they come.
Yeah. Shout out Steve. The best. He really is the best. Greg,
All right, tangent coming.
How do you, Greg,
yes,
become the celebrity that you want to be?
Producing the Breaking Bread podcast, cough, cough, cough.
I think I should need to put myself out there more and just kind of stick with it instead of just wondering what I could be, instead of just actually doing it.
You got to step out.
Just got to do it.
So that's kind of the conclusion, is this is just the beginning for Greg.
It is.
Greg is a star. Greg is in high demand. Greg is multi-talented, multifaceted. Greg is the man of the smart people.
I am the man of the people.
And you like want to know what? I'll divulge this information.
Anthony's going to get sentimental.
Yeah. I'll divulge this information. I'm not going to say who, but a lot of people, when I was first starting to bring Greg around, told me to ditch Greg. Not even kidding you. Like, and it really pissed me off. It really hurt my feelings because I'm the kind of guy where I trust you if I could bring you around. Like, you know, if I bring you, like, around, like, my, like, peeps, like, I bring them around you clearly.
Clearly.
Yeah. Like, peeps.
No, but, like, I'm... But like I'm serious, like
I'll out them. I don't care. I won't actually out.
He has so surpassed any expectation that I've had of like, hey Greg, you want a side job pedaling? Like blew it through the stratosphere.
No, Greg has upgraded his equipment. Greg has like you know, Greg has. I've been with you for a year now.
Yeah.
And what I've seen is Greg kind of step up really.
This is a Greg appreciation podcast.
Greg, we appreciate you.
I appreciate both of you.
I wouldn't be where I am without Greg.
Greg, look, I have never seen such a bromance as Greg and Anthony.
I am Tommy Hagen. I am.
Hector's going to get so jealous.
The Long Island conciliary.
Greg Heinrich, social media influencer.
Editor extraordinaire.
Future celebrity chef.
Bam.
And producer. Of the Breaking Bread podcast. You've said it all.
This isn't the Goofy movie. We're not snapping in a cafe.
I couldn't ask for a better show, better crew, better group of people that I'm around.
A couple stand-up guys right here.
Good night. Good night, San Diego.